नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna, welcome to everyone to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are reading today from the 9th canto, chapter 15. The title is Parashurama, the Lord's Warrior's Incarnation, and we read together the text number 31. Yato yato so pararat parashvado. Yato yato sa paharaj parashvado Mano nilaya parachakra sudana Mano nilaya parachakra sudana Tatas tatas chinabujoru kandara Tatas tatachi nabujoro chandara Nipetur uvyam matashuta vahana Nipetur uvyam matashuta vahana Yatam, wherever. Yatam, wherever. Aso, Lord Parashurama, Praharat, slashing, Parashvada, being expert in using his weapon, the Parashu or chopper, Mana, like the mind, Anila, like the wind, Oja, being forceful, Parachakra of the enemy's military strength. Sadhana, killer. Tata, there. Tata, and there. Chinna, scattered and cut off. Puja, arms. Uru, legs. Kandara, shoulders. Nipetum, fell down. Uryam, on the ground. Ata, killed. Sutta, chariot driver. Vahana, carrier horses and elephant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Parashurama, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemies, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Whenever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephant and horses, all annihilated. Purport. In the beginning, when the army of the enemy was full of fighting soldiers, elephants and horses, Lord Parashurama proceeded into their midst and the speed of the mind and to kill them. When somewhat irritated, he slowed down to the speed of the wind and continued to kill the enemies vigorously. The speed of the mind is greater than the speed of the wind. Om Gyan Atimirandasya Gyanam Jana Salakaya Chaksuru Miritam Gyanatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Yana Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadatishva Vadantikam Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadara Sivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes it's very difficult to tune and to understand what is written in these verses. We say that Lord Parashurama was fighting at the speed of the wind, at the speed of the mind. So we cannot imagine. So when I was reading these verses, I tried to figure out some example and come in my mind somewhere when I was very young. I was like, I think around 10 years old. And because that time was around the 60, beginning of the 70. And you know, that time was really, really famous, the karate. You remember, it was Bruce Lee, this karate man, you know. And everyone, all the kids, they would like to do karate. So I went to school. So I went to school to training with karate. And once, we had one master, he was coming from Japan directly. And he was really, really high level of karate. Like, you know, the people's most famous, they have a bell, black belt, no? But after the black belt, there are so many levels. 1, 2, 3, if I remember, until 10. And this man was like one of the higher level in the world. So when he came, he just, one evening, just to give a demonstration to all the students, he want to fight with the high level people in Italy. So that means they have not only the black belt, but maybe 1, 2, 3 level after. No, but it was much right. So they start to fight. And I remember that one of the teacher, or the yoga master, he was attacking him, but not so strong. So the master, the Japan master, alive, he slapped him and said, hey, we are here to fight. We are not just here just to make a demonstration. And he called three person, that everyone was black belt, and very, for us, was the topmost. And they start to fight with him. And this man was very short, was like 1 meter, 60 centimeters. And the other one was very big, you know, very strong, Westerner people coming from Italy, North Italy. You know. It was amazing because no one of them, he never touched him once away. He was turning around, just slapping them on the head, and he was joking with them. I saw him just walking, running, making 2, 3 steps on the wall, coming back, jumping around. And all the other was completely totally surprised. And, you know, this was just a man. It was just a karate man. You can imagine Parashurama. He was fast, as safe as the wind. You cannot, we know when there is a strong wind, we know what is happening. The wind is coming everywhere and is pushing. It is completely unpredictable, no? And the strength can be very strong. Some in some part of the world we have hurricane, we have it coming in a moment. And it is said that Parashurama was fighting at the same speed of the mind. Can you imagine? The mind is something that is beyond our capacity, beyond our perception, because the speed of the mind, you cannot imagine that the light is running like something 300,000 kilometers by second, if I could remember, something very strong, no? Very quickly. And the mind is much more. Can you imagine? The light of the sun, it takes more than 8 minutes just to come on the earth. It is running to this kind of speed. And our capacity of the mind can be immediately at the sun. Because if we have some imagination, we already jump there. So that was the fighting, the mood of fighting of Parashurama. Nobody can defeat him. And also yesterday we were reading what he was explaining, how he was able to fight against a lot of people together. So from the logic, from the normal understanding of the people, this is impossible. Because he was not only fighting with like this yoga karate master with three person, he was fighting with entire army. He is destroying the entire army, the chariot is destroying everything. So, and again, if some, say, normal people, general people, they just start to read something like that, he say, okay, these are the myths, they are the legend of the ancient India. No, they put it in this category. And most of the people, they just catalog all this story as a legend. Just a legend just to get some inspiration for some, you know, better, making your better your behavior or to grow up, something like that. And of course, we can understand why the people think like that. Because their capacity to understand these kind of things is completely is quite impossible. So that's because we have a lot of category. When the people, they approach the Shastra, the category of understanding is very completely different from each, from one of the others. So the normal people, they just can understand the teaching that is behind the story. And we know as a devotee that it's not just a teaching, but it's also true. It's something that really happened. Can you imagine in Vrindavan, so many things happened with Lord Krishna. And when you tell something, pastime of Lord Krishna to the normal people, especially I'm coming from the Western country. In the Western country, you say something about Lord, say, oh, very nice. So you have good example, good story about the Lord, just to help us to understand much more better. So no, we understand that the Lord, he was here in Vrindavana. He did the pastime. But how is possible? And that's also because it's important when you meet other people that they are not so much advanced in the spiritual on the spiritual path. You have to tune your speech and to make to them understandable for them, because otherwise they just start to make offenses or think that these people are strange people. They believe something that this is not impossible. It's not possible, because most of the people, they want to listen, they are able to understand on the logic basis. So if what you said make a logic to me, okay, I will accept. If don't make any kind of logic, I will reject. So this is the normal understanding of the people, because you know they are completely on the bodily concept of life. So the people, they cannot think to go beyond the body. And the body, what is giving knowledge to the body? The senses. And most of the people, they want something that is in the range of the senses. But we know, as a devotee, that the senses are very complicated and you cannot trust them. Because even here, what we are doing, I'm talking, you are listening, you say something here, you say the honk of in the street, something like that. So we think that we have 3-4 sound information coming here. But it's not true. In this room, in this moment, we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of sound information that they are coming, going out, going in. And we are able to understand only a range of them, because our senses, our ear, are tuned with a certain range. So all the rest is just not possible for us. Maybe we have some dog that they are much more fine hearing than us, because the someone who is going ultrasound, you say? Ultrasound, yes, or below sound, we are not able to understand. We need to listen to that. So our senses are not, we are completely imperfect. So, but because most of the people, they are going just to accept what is acceptable for the senses, they will not able to understand this story. And maybe some decades ago, or maybe some hundreds of years ago, it was a big difference when you go in some place like India and when you go in the Western country, because the lifestyle and also the spiritualization was much more deeper, of course, like in India. But nowadays it's also not the same. Everything is becoming very, very close. So it's not that when you come in a country you are safe. You are more safe, because when you stay in the Lord of Krishna, the Lord of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything is more easy. Much more people, they are practicing spiritual life, they want to go deep. But in general, even in India, it's not exactly all the people, they have better understanding. Because even here, the bodily conception of life, just go only through the senses, is developed more and more and more and more. It's increasing, especially in the big city. I have many time meeting Indian people in India. They are really far away from any kind of understanding, and they become very close to the Western mood. And the Western mood, the lifestyle, is just to be much more accepting what is accepting by the senses. So we can start to have this story. I was just coming from Mayapur, where we have many seminars for the leader in the world. And Krishna Kshetra Swami was giving a seminar about the importance of writing. No, he did write the writing. Say any devotee is encouraged to write, because he say Prabhupada was encouraging the devotee. Of course, was the capacity, as the quality to do that, to write. And we need a lot of different level of writing, Because of course we have the Siddhanta here, Prabhupada, the Bhagavatam, we have to read every day. It's not just because we like or we don't like. We have to read. Any devotee has to attend a class, we have to read the Bhagavatam. This is very important. But we want to reach the general audience. And for the general audience, the Bhagavatam is very difficult to understand. I remember my mother, now she passed away, she tried a few times to read some books. I tried to give the Bhagavad Gita to her. She started with the first chapter, say, oh, too many names, Indian names, not even able to read this name, too complicated. Give me something different to talk about that. Okay. I will give you, we have condensed version of Prabhupada Lilamrita. I gave to her and said, that's more nice, but again, too many names, too many Indians. I can read this one, too complicated. But when I was giving to her some story, some in a novel mood, and she really appreciated, oh, this Krishna is very nice. It's very nice. Because she said, make pleasant when I'm very happy when I read something to that. And again, Krishna Kritha Swami say, encourage the devotee to write in a different mood, because when you address to the general audience, what they like, they can read novel, or maybe they can read some books on the logic basis. And you can say, okay, this is not complete, because it's not only that the Bhagavatam. Yes, but also you think all the Vedic literature, we know that the Lord Vyasadeva was not satisfied in writing all the literature. The Vedic literature, but something is there, because also the Vedic literature is not just talking about Ayurveda, Jyotish Shastra, or whatever it is. Something is there. There is a sloka from the Bhagavatam, is 11 canto, Parokshava Doveto Jamba, Datam Priti Purvakam, etc. And he said that all the people they are living in this material world, they are full. So sorry to me, to everyone, but we are not the best in the universe. He said, because you are food, the Vedas has been written. And he make a comparison between the Veda and to give a medicine to a young guy. Sometimes the medicine are very bitter. And what you do to give the medicine to your kids? You put in a sugar. You take a small piece of sugar, you put a drop of the bitter things. So he hit that. It's okay, it's sweet. Something is there, but the sweet is more sweet, so you can just take the medicine. And when the medicine goes down, it starts to have an effect. So any single book of the Vedic literature, it contains the essence. And what is the essence? The essence is love for God. And the essence of all the Vedic literature is the Bhagavatam. So we know, and also we have to go beyond what is just the teaching, because even Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, be careful to don't lose yourself in the flourishing message of the Veda. Because the Veda are there just to help you, to inspire you to go something that, but after you get the essence, you need to get the essence. So be careful. Because if you just look at the Jyotish Veda, the astrology or whatever, you just took there, you can just lose yourself in the middle. You have a lot of information, a lot of consideration. You can count on under the astrology, they have under different version or something like that. But what is the essence? Again, if you take, maybe you know better than me, if you consult an astrology, if you have the real one, is helping you to understand what is your karma. Not who you was before. What is your karma that brought you here with your body, with this kind of mind, this kind of intelligence, and what is your dharma, which is your Sanatan dharma, and what is your Naimittika dharma, Svadharma, the temporary dharma. You have to improve your situation in accord to tune more with the Sanatana dharma. This is the real meaning. But most of the people, when they approach, they ask for wealth, money, good wife, good husband, or whatever it is, because you lose in the capacity of the real capacity, you lose, don't catch in the real capacity of that. So we have to understand that it is really important when we want to communicate the message in the world, just to be able to tune with the people before starting to speak. And of course, any level of interacting with people, the mantra is always good. But we have to show them a mantra in a proper way. Because if you show it in a you make it complicated for the people, that can be a problem. Also, we read in the Ten Offenses, he said, don't preach the glories of the mantra to the people that they don't want to practice this spiritual life. Doesn't say that you don't have to give them a mantra to people. You have to give them a mantra to people. But don't go into the details, because maybe for them it's too complicated. We know that sometimes the people, they start to join us, they say, okay, that's a very nice mantra, make me peaceful, make me happy. Okay, start. Keep chanting to the people. When you start to give them but glory of the Lord, say, no, it's philosophy, complicated, you want to convert me. Something sometimes happens. So we have to be careful and just try to understand which are the needs, what are the concerns of the people, and just try to give them the essence of our philosophy. And the mantra can be always there. Now we're feasting, nowadays is Shivaratri, no? Very important feast. And I remember a few years ago, we were invited to a program, important program. We had some food distribution. We went in a monastery, noon monastery, and we have all this program. We cook a dinner, we collect funds just to bring here, to bring in Vrindavana, to give some help for the kids in Vrindavana, what Food for Life program. And some people were there. Everyone was happy. We have a very nice evening. Everyone was singing, chanting, doing in the church, doing kirtan. Amazing, no? And some of the people, they helped us in organizing the program, they was from Shaiva tradition. They were Shivait, no? And after that, they were very happy. So happy, they say, oh, you have to come in our center. We have to have a preaching program. We have to have a program in our center. We can continue this feast. So we went in their place. And just we were starting singing all together. Dema mantra, Meliva mantra, Ma mantra. And the people were so happy dancing. So we sit just for a little talk. And, one devotee, he decided that he had to preach to them. So he started to say, oh, Lord Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. And nobody reacts. Say, okay, no problem. So we chant the Ma mantra. The mantra is Maha mantra, the better mantra in the world. All the other mantras are secondary mantra. He started to give a speech on that level. And all the people, they become very disappointed. They say, Lord Krishna is superior to Lord Shiva. And the people, they were only one from the Shaiva tradition. And they say, it's possible Lord Krishna is superior to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the best. And he started to quarrel. No, a lot of discussion in between them. And they say, why you say that Maha mantra is the topmost mantra in the world? They say, because it's written in our books. And they say, I will take my books. And in my books it's written that Om Shivaya Namah is the greatest mantra in the world. They start to have a quarrel. They were really... So I can do was pray Lord Krishna. I have to stop these things. Now I say, okay, sorry. Can we do something like that? You were happy before? I say, yeah, very happy before. Now we can prayers. We can ask the permission to Lord Shiva. We said Om Namah Shivaya all together. And then we can continue to sing it. He said, oh, that's a very nice idea. So we stop all the quarrel. We glorify Lord Shiva. And again, we start to sing the mantra. And everyone was very happy. So, what we want when we meet people? The people, they chant Hare Krishna. We don't have to go into the detail, convince them that we are the best. They like. That's it. Maybe it's a moving process. We are not the controller. Krishna is the controller. If you give Maha mantra to the people, they will work inside. Will work inside. It's very important. We are doing a lot of many preaching program, and when you end the preaching program, you always have to give the Maha mantra. You always have to give prasada to the people, because this is keeping the mind of the people. They remember that. Philosophy sometimes go up and down, especially in the Western country. Maybe you have a long discussion about philosophy. After 1 week, 2 weeks, they make confusion between your teaching, Buddhist teaching, they put all together. But they always remain Maha mantra. They always remain prasada. We have some people, they come to us and say, oh, 30 years ago I moved the devotee, and they give me a very super wonderful cookies. And always I ask to these people, how many cookies you had in your life? Maybe thousands and thousands. Why you remember that one? I don't know. That one was really different, something special. Yes, of course. It was special. It was prasada. And we know that Lord Shiva Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that all you have to give Krishna to the people in a form of the Maha Mantra, in Krishna directly talking about his pastime, and to give in the form of the pure devotee, in the form of the prasada. All these four, they hallow you, the people, to enter in the bhakti. Because the bhakti is not something that is consequently to some action that you did. Because some people, they think that, oh, I'm a good person, so I will come in contact with Krishna. The bhakti is something that is completely independent. Krishna doesn't depend from no one. But if you give one of these four things, so the people, they will start their devotional process. Because they get directly Krishna. Krishna, Maha Mantra, Prasada, or the pure devotee. So that's because it's important to give to the people the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So they start to move in the process. And they will start to understand it differently. And you know, because why we as a devotee, we consider Lord Shiva the greatest devotee. Hey, today is his day, so it's very, very important. Everywhere in India, people, they are going to feast Shivaratri. And you know that Shiva, as Prabhupada explained, is like the yogurt. It's not Krishna, at the same time, it's not a jiva. It's something in the middle. And it is said that when Krishna has his expansion, his manifesting form, they arrive to manifest around 93% of his capacity, his quality, although Shiva is 84. The human beings, the jiva, they are not able to do that. So it's something completely different. And Krishna enter also in his material world through Shiva, because he is the one who is carrying all the living entity, and also is considered the father, as you know, as Durga is considered the mother of the universe. So, which kind of consideration we have about him? Very, very high consideration. And the honesty is very sad. Not here, maybe not in India, but to see some devotee, they consider Shiva something, you know, just a deva. Okay, Shiva is just a deva. Yes. When you glorify Krishna, of course you glorify everyone. So you don't have to spend a lot of time to worship Krishna. But consider who Shiva is. Shiva is considered the greatest devotee. Shiva is always with Krishna. They never separate. You remember when Krishna was very young, even Lord Shiva, when he appeared in this world here in Mathura, in Vrindavana, Lord Shiva immediately want to meet Krishna. And you know that he makes it like a sadhu, was just taking some different clothes, and he went in the house of Nanda Yasoda, and he just asked to see Lord Krishna. But because he was looking very, very strange, they said, no, maybe the guys will be scared from you, our kids, we don't want that you will be disturbed, please stay away. And he tried many times, saying, no, I tried to convince them. No way. But you know, Krishna, even if it was just a little bit, he understood. He said, oh, my greatest devotee is coming. They are stopping me. And he started to cry. Cry. In the beginning, he was thinking, why is he crying? Maybe he lost the presence of this. They tried to push him away. And after, Krishna was crying. And finally, they say, okay, let's try, even with this man. So he asked the sadhu, please come in. When Krishna came in, Lord Shiva, dressed as a sadhu, came in, and Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, so the Supreme Personality of God and the most elevated soul, they moved together. Krishna immediately stopped crying. And they were just spending a loving moment together. So Lord Shiva will be never separate from the Lord. And another characteristic that we have of Lord Shiva is Asutosha. Asutosha means he's always satisfied, easily satisfied. That's because many people, they are approaching Lord Shiva, and many people, they have benefit from them. We have two kinds of giving mercy. One is called Satapat Kripa. Satapat Kripa means that is a kind of mercy, but with cheating. So he's using to give mercy to the people who was asking to him mercy, but in a cheating mood. What? Like Ravana or the other. They are coming to Lord Shiva just to give some benefit. They want power. They want a lot of things that to be greater self-interest. So Krishna, in some way, he gave to them, no, all this facility, he gave the power, but in which way? Because they are cheating, because all these people, they are going to fight with Krishna. So Krishna, he has the desire not to fight, and these people, they have the desire to conquer the universe, and finally, Krishna is putting, Lord Shiva is putting the put together. Of course, who will win? Krishna will win. So they give the illusion to these people that you can become the most powerful, the most everything. But even for that, Krishna is Shiva is always serving Krishna. So he's just creating the condition that Krishna can manifest his pastime. You know, one of the pastimes very famous was like this one with Rikasura. If you remember, Rikasura was a man that was going into very severe austerity. He arrived at the moment to take out his flesh. He was cutting his flesh, burning his flesh, just to get the attention of Lord Shiva. And when Shiva was not giving so much attention to this Asura, and he said, okay, the last one will cut my head. And he took the knife, he started to cut the head, and Lord Shiva appeared and said, what do you want? He said, oh, thank you, Lord Shiva, you can give me all the boon, I will take it. I say, okay, what do you want? I want the power that everyone I will touch in the head, that the head will explode, no? And Lord Shiva, I say, was quite doubtful, but you know, finally decide. Say, home, he gave the bone to him, he put some water, as was doing in the Vedic time. And this man immediately started to try to touch the head of of Lord Shiva to kill him, because this is the most powerful, I will kill him, I will remain the most important person in the universe. And Shiva was much more powerful than him. He ran away immediately. He went to Lord Vishnu. He went to Lord Vishnu and he explained the situation. And Lord Vishnu became very disappointed. Say, why this man? You give the power to him, he wants to kill you. So he took the body of a young guy, and in some way he went, he just managed the things in a way that this man, the Rikasura, he touched his head. By his hand, so he explode, finish. So Krishna, even when Lord Shiva do something that can be even dangerous for him, he was protecting him. So we are always say to consider that. And another way that Lord Shiva is manifesting his mercy is Nishtapat. That means that is without duplicity. So the way without duplicity, just is giving mercy to people to grow in the spiritual path, and also to the devotee. Sometimes it's just removing the obstacle, helping the people to grow. When they approach him sincerely, they is like a test, the final test. That's also because when we go in a holy place, it's suggested, it's not mandatory, it's suggested that first you go to Shiva place, take some benediction from him, and after you go in the holy place. Even in Vrindavana, so many, maybe we ISKCON devotee, we don't do this. Maybe some do, something don't do. But many people, when they travel, first they go to Lord Shiva to get the mercy of Lord Shiva, and after they go to visit Krishna and so on. I don't say that we have to do that, because we go directly to Krishna. But this, you know, especially you know that you are Indian, you know these things. And often happen that Lord Shiva is helping the people. Always, because he's so merciful that he got to take even the lower class of the people, the one who is really the drunkards. You can imagine many devotees, especially in the past, they became the Krishna devotee because of Shiva. And you know, that time when the hippies were there, so the situation was completely different. So many people, they were smoking ganja, they was drinking. And was quite common in between the people. They were starting to hold the ceiling to smoke and say, Om Shankar, Shambho, Om Shankar, Mahadeva, Shambho. They didn't know what it means, but it was something that, you know, was part of the practice. Now you do that, you offer something, they don't really understand. I don't know what happened, but many of them, after some times, they become devotees. Because maybe Lord Shiva say, oh, these people are very fallen people, but they have some sincerity inside. And because they have some sincerity inside, Lord Shiva was just cultivating them, and finally he drove these people to the Krishna consciousness. Many, devotees, especially from the past, they have this experience. Because Shiva was the only one able to stay with these people. Because when you approach Krishna, you know the level is completely different. You have to purify your mind, you have to purify your body, the cleanliness is very important. So when you start to approach Krishna consciousness, we have to be more... But Lord Shiva is taking everyone. He stays in the cemetery with the lower class of people, with the drunken people. He's always there, in some there. He's not affecting what they are doing, but he's there. He becomes their master. Maybe they, as I said before, maybe they even don't know what it means, who is Shiva, but it's just part of the practice, just to, in some way, worship him. And because Lord Shiva is so merciful, he stays with this kind of people, and after help the people to lift up, to grow a little. And, you know, there are a lot of story, contemporary story, a story also from the past. And Lord Shiva, he manifests in Sam in a different way. Sometimes in the anger mood, we know that he's really, can be, become very destructive. He's the destructor of the universe. When the kalpa finish, he destroy everything. But also we have a lot of story, like the story of Daksha, you know, remember the story when Daksha, he was the emperor of the universe. He was so brilliant, so effulgent. He had a lot of knowledge. He was the most expert in the ritual, in the ceremony, and so on. And this story, this particular incident, when he came, he entered in the arena, was described in the Bhagavad, he was so brilliant as thousands of sun. So he was a super nice person. And Lord Shiva was in the corner, just meditating. And Lord Daksha was not really considering, because Shiva is not, he didn't take care so much of the dress. He was just looking not really nice. So in the middle of all these people, he was respecting, because he was the husband of Sati, his wife. And we know the story that in some way he was not considering, he was insulting Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva was not really taking care of that, because he was just continuing meditating. And we know this devotee was meditating on the Lord, was meditating on Krishna. But you know, when Sati, the wife, was completely dissatisfied of the situation, she decided to pull the hand of her life, to burn it. So she burned. And when this happened, you know, even Lord Shiva was completely disappointed, because when they were insulting him, it was no problem. When they was insulting the wife, was insulting his devotee, he would become very angry. And he called up Virabhadra and he destroyed all the arena. And finally they cut the head of Lord Daksha, of Daksha. And after, we know that after the story, he got the head of a goat. You know? But you know that... you see how the anger of Lord Shiva can be something really dangerous and effective. And when he comes in the mood of anger, he also is able to destroy the universe, to destroy everything. So Shiva is something that is also the guna avatara, in the mood of tamas. So he is controlling all that. So Shiva is a really extremely benevolent. But also, in the other end, he has a lot of benevolence with the people. He's really kind, he wants to help. So we have two different aspects of Shiva. One is that one able to destroy everything and able to kill all the people. And the other hand, he has so benevolence. One of the most famous is, of course, when the Deva and the Asura, they decided to churn the ocean of milk, just to get the amrita, or the nectar of the immortality. And we know that when they start to churn all the milks, all the poison come up. And nobody was able just to manage this one. What we do? Because it was so strong, it was so intense, that any place that you put this one, it will destroy everything. So they was really concerned. And in Shiva, again, for the benefit for all the living beings, what he decide? Say, I will take, I will drink it. And you know, that's because, you know, we have the blue throat of Lord Shiva, because the poison was so strong that it was not able to kill him, but at the same time also get some effect. Just remember what he did. And again, he did completely for the benefit of the other living beings. So that's also because Prabhupada was considered, this is the greatest Vaishnava, because he's not never putting him in the center, he was just working and helping the other people. So all Lord Shiva is doing, maybe he's looking in a very strange way, but he's always looking for the beneficial, for the benefit of all the living beings. So that's Prabhupada said, this is the greatest devotee. Again, when Lord Vamanadeva, in his second step, he just make a hole in the, and the Ganga start to flow. The Ganga was so strong that was able to destroy the planet Earth. And again, you can manage this kind of situation. Who come up? Who say, okay, I will do that. I will protect all the living beings. So he put his head on the Ganga. In a sense, there is a direct connection with the Lord. He was the only one really able to do that. But again, was for the purpose to protect and let the Ganga flow, and just be beneficial for all the living beings. So we see how Lord Shiva is so important, and sometimes that's because I'm becoming very sad when I saw some devotees, they are going to minimize who is going to Lord Shiva. So we are always to remember that we are not following the Deva system, but we have to respect all them. It's not because we are worshipping the Deva, we are not worshipping the Deva, that the Deva they become something that we are not out of our consideration. It is interesting because sometimes I saw devotees when they meet some big politician or some big VIP, they are full of respect for him. They go there, hey, they embrace him, they take him. And when you talk about the Deva, they don't take any consideration of that. It's not what we have to do, especially with Lord Shiva. We are not worshipping because we are not worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because all of them, they are following, they are disciples, they are really connected, they are very happy. So we are very happy. If we have one of the biggest guru in our movement, he sits on the, and when everyone is just giving all the attention to Srila Prabhupada, even him is very happy. Everyone is happy. Temple president, GBC, everyone. If you just give your attention to Srila Prabhupada, everyone is satisfied. When you start to give more attention to one, less attention to the other, some discussion come up, some quarrel come up. No? But when you give the attention to him, it's no problem. And at the same, when you give our full attention to Lord Krishna, there is no problem. Shiva is happy, Ganesh is happy, everyone is happy. And nobody is complaining you because you are not giving attention to them. So we have to remember, in that sense, so we are not worshiping, but we are respecting. And Shiva is a special one. And I will tell you, in the Western country especially, because when I meet people that they are close to the ancient spirituality of India, or as you want to call the Vedic culture, whatever it is, they are the most closest. And they like the devotee. Normally they really like the devotee. Maybe they have their understanding, but they respect in some way. So they're the most respectful because they have a personal relation. And also they have a personal relation with Lord Shiva, and they have a personal relation with Lord Krishna. So maybe, I don't know, some devotee told me today is not the best day to go to the temple of Shivaratri because it's very crowded. They broke the glass, taking a lot of glass. I don't know if it's true or not. But some days, maybe take, when you do your parikram, go and pay obeisance to Lord Shiva because he's one of our master, really. He's one who was guiding our life. So I think that we have a few minutes. If we have comment or want to share some story.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Anyway, we worked at Miami Airport for many book distributors. And we used to make great cookies and lugloos, you know, and some nice Mahamudra sweets. And we saw that it changed the whole atmosphere of not only the administration at the airport, but all the porters, you know, that take the bags. They were so hungry for prasadam. Every day they come after you, you know. And of course, the devotee's behavior and the reciprocation is so important. As you mentioned, that if we're giving, delivering, shot them in a nice way, people become addicted, so I'll make that point. Also, the devotees were asking Prabhupada on Kirtan, Harinam, how do we engage all the people? And Prabhupada said, just you chant for the pleasure of Krishna in their heart. they'll become naturally satisfied. So if we're chanting and dancing for the pleasure of Krishna, then people are naturally attracted. So the prasadam and also the chanting of the holy name, as you mentioned. And Prabhupada is always very expert, time, place, and circumstance, depending on the background of the person or people he was speaking to. You have to be considerate. You just can't just drive philosophy down people unless you understand the circumstances, utility, and principle.
Yeah. Yes, this is very, to me is very important. But I see, I thought everywhere, not only in the Western countries, is tremendously important that one, because you can make the difference. You can make easy for the people to come close to Krishna consciousness, or you can make difficult. But I remember a couple of years ago, I was I went in a place to sleep one, two, three nights. Was in Jaipur, so I went in one homestay. And his hostel was from one colonel, or from the army, Indian army. And this man told me that, you know, he was atheist. He told me, so I grow up in Jaipur. He said, grow up in Jaipur, you're atheist, you don't go in. No. So he said, he's in India. Was Indian man, Indian body grow, the wife was the same. So when I was going back in the evening, he was trying to ask question to me. And again, was the same when you meet some people in the Western country. He was completely out. He didn't know the spirituality of his land. So we start to talk about indirectly with other things, you know, how the logic, the ethics principle, or something like that. And you know, this man, he changed. And in the evening, he was waiting for me when I was coming back. Say, hey, can we sit there? And we spent at least 2 hours every night talking about. And finally, he say, I want to read some book. That's good. But if you know, if you change the approach, you miss the approach, maybe you start to say, oh, why, you are Indian, you are here, you are living in Jaipur, you don't know all these things, Krishna, Govindaji, and this and that. This person just hide the world against you. So you have to be careful on that. We are representing Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was really gentle. I never had the chance to meet Srila Prabhupada, but I became devoted because of Srila Prabhupada, just right after he left the planet, Srila Prabhupada. And what was really impressed me about Srila Prabhupada was his mood. He was able to tune with the people. You remember there is this famous story about Jack Hicks, I think, was the Formula One driver with Srila Prabhupada. You know this story? The devotee, they managed to, because at that time he was one of the most famous top driver speed car in the world, no? They managed to meet Srila Prabhupada. They spent 2 hours with Srila Prabhupada, this man. And the devotee, they report that the first hour, they spoke most of the time about the race, what's going on in the world, and the Prabhupada let talk to, because they told him, this is a very important person, he can really do something. And you know, they spend a lot of time just talking about his job, no? And finally, Prabhupada is asked to him, but never happened accident here. And this man say, yeah, sometimes happen accident. We try to manage everything that not have any accident, but sometimes the accident come. And Prabhupada start to talk about the accident. This, and he say, some people die, as Prabhupada. And he say, yes, sometimes people die. He say, so. What happened after the people died? And Prabhupada at that time he started to preach. So he created a connection with this man. Because you can imagine, this man was completely out of the spirituality. Was only interested in the life, he was win a race car. That was the only interest. But because he was very famous, and Prabhupada know that these people, they can influence the other people in the world, he spent time with him, he let him to talk, establish a connection, and after, he was just... giving some information to him to help this man grow. And I also spent a few times with talking about this with His Holiness Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Swami, and he always say that some devotees, they misunderstood the mood of Prabhupada, and they just report what Prabhupada say in a private room. But he told me when he was in front of the scientists, he always were very kind, and he told me that once the devotee, Srila Prabhupada was meeting a very famous scientist, and you know the devotee, some way they took prasada for Prabhupada and not for him. And Prabhupada said, well, this is my guest, why don't you bring prasada for him? Sometimes in the beginning the devotee was quite naive, we want to say. And so Prabhupada shared the place with him. So that was the way, just to create some relation with these people. At the other hand, Prabhupada was very strong about the scientists, because he said, you are misguiding the world. But personally, with the people, he tried to help. That. So that's what I understood, and what is important to do. Just you don't have to convince the people. You have to transform the people. This is completely different. Now it's time to finish, but you know, I think every one of you know, or most of you, that you know the story about Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and when Jiva Goswami defeat this big scholar, no? And when he come back to Rupa Goswami, say, so I defeat just to protect your name, to protect the Vaishnavi's name, say, what was the reply of Rupa Goswami? He said, you are not a devotee. Go out from Vrindavana. And he sent to Mathura. Because the devotee is not looking to defeat people. The devotee are looking to transform the people. So that's what we have to do. So and to do that, we have to become intelligent and also sincere, very sincere. Because as Prabhupada say, if you give in your best way the love, you share the mantra, you give prasada. Prasada is so important. In India, it's really normal to give prasada at the end of the meeting. Sometimes in other parts of the world, it's not really common. But we have to give to them. We have complete faith in the prasada. The story that I want to tell you, this is regarding one very big name on the philosophy in my country. This man now is more than 80, but he's still super intelligent. No, just to give an example, he wrote the encyclopedia just for the protection of the animal that has been adopted for the right of the animals. It is being adopted to the European level. So, this is a man who took the Vatican in the court. And his part of his family, one the uncle is cardinal, he's belonging from that background. He took them in the court because he said that the hell is anti-constitutional. The forever hell, to have be sent forever to hell is anti-constitutional, because he said you can be the worst criminal in the world. When you have to pay your karma. Maybe you kill a lot of people. You have to stay in a bad condition from billion of years, but after some times, you need to have the chance just to rectify yourself. So it was very strange people, just to give an idea. He took the Vatican in the court because he said the Christian, they say sometimes that they take you in the hell forever. And he won. He won. He took it in Strasbourg's court and he won. And they give some money to him. And it was not for him, just giving for the poor people. So this man, I was having some exchange because for interfaith and intercultural dialogue. In the beginnings, long ago, when he moved to devotee, he would say, hey, you people, he was not even able to pronounce the Hare Krishna name. But any time, I was bringing prasada to him, and he liked a lot the prasada. So, after some times, prasada, 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 he started to be saying, hey, you, Hare Krishna. Say, yes, we are Hare Krishna, you know. Say, yes. But say, why you are Hare Krishna? We are Vaishnava, Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya. No, no, you are Hare Krishna. Why? Because you chant this mantra. I say, which mantra? He started to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Yes, that's good. That's the mantra that we chant. But say, this mantra is very boring. You repeating this mantra all day, many times. It's very boring. I don't want to do something like that. But in some way, no, so I continue to take prasada. And after we continue the relation. And one day he really surprised me. He say, Parabhakti, you Hare Krishna? Yes. I come to know that after Krishna, you are a very important feature, very important person in your tradition. He say, who is the female aspect of God? It's Radharani. Have you something to say about that? He said, yes, you have to eat more, little, and also, why you don't stay? And he joined us in a little budget. And finally, I gave him a book about Srimati Radharani. And he read immediately this. Very interesting. He said, Professor, just a few years ago, you were not even able to pronounce the Hare Krishna name, not mantra, the Hare Krishna name. Now he's reading Srimati Radharani. And I don't think that I was the one who made the difference. From my understanding, the one who made the difference was the prasada. that I regularly give, the Mahaprasada of our deity, they completely transform the person. So I strongly believe, I thought I understood Prabhupada was strongly believe in the power of the Prasada, and we have to continue. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.